TV.
Greetings once again from the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. I'm Martin Zender, and just a couple more days, I'm going to be winging it here with the onboard camera sound. But the good news is, one of our own, a fellow member of the Body of Christ, offered to get me a new computer. And so, thank God. My other one, I don't even know yet if it can be resurrected. And the topic of the day is resurrection. In fact, I won't find out till probably Tuesday. But if I do get it back, it'll be a backup computer, because I've discovered that my backup computer now is just too old and it can't keep up with audio and video, explaining why I am now doing these videos on the phone. But I am so thankful for the saint and for all of the members of the Body of Christ over the years who have provided the needs of this work, my needs and the needs of this work. I mean, including my surgery, where I had to go to Peru for the surgery. I mean, everything. I am so indebted to all of you who have helped me over the years. I can't thank you enough. This is truly a grassroots operation. And I did not ask anyone for a computer, but this person just stepped up and said, "Let me know if you think you need a new one." In the meantime, my middle son, Luke, who you know, I interviewed him a couple of years ago. He looked at my computer when I was in New York 2 years ago visiting. He looked at my computer and he said, "You're going to need an update." And you know me, I just keep going on whatever I have. I don't want to update. I don't like to update. It's always a hassle when you update your computer. But I knew things were starting to run a little slow. Well, God decided to caffeinate my computer. And so God is always pushing me to the next level. I have to be pushed. I have to be pushed. And God knows it. So he provided for that. Thank you, God. So let's see if I can resurrect this one over here that I could use for a backup. Well, welcome to the show. On Friday, I showed you a close-up of my scar, and I really appreciate, and I'm dead serious about this, I appreciate one of the comments of a viewer, I forget who it was, but he said, "You know, that the scar kind of makes you look badass." That made my day. Thank you for that. That helps. I was wondering if maybe, you know, if maybe it would end up being like a battle scar, you know? And I think that's true. So thank you for that. This is an end time update, maybe a little different one than you're used to. Oh, yeah, one more thing about the computer. I have to transfer all my old files and old programs onto the new computer with a program called Time Machine on the Apple computer. I would like to make that transfer from my backup computer, not the older one, but I have to wait and see if the backup computer can be raised from the dead. If not, I'll have to make it from this other one. So anyway, all that to say that it's going to be a few days before I'm up and running with the studio that you know and you love. But I know that a lot of you like these simple, more direct videos right on the phone. No green screen, even though I do have one going on here. So thank you one and all. The Shroud of Turin, I now realize for sure, is authentic. I mean, this is shocking. Think of the implications that we have an image of Jesus Christ a nanosecond before he opened his eyes. Let me give you some of the details. Let me give you the overview. And then I'll get into some details. The overview is, I believe that the Shroud is now getting a lot of publicity. For one thing, a Shroud expert was interviewed by Tucker Carlson. And I am linking you to this video. This is a must watch. It's an hour and a half long. It's long form interview. Tucker Carlson, one of the most well-known media people on the planet Earth. Interview with this man who knows a lot about the Shroud, and it is mind-boggling. Here's, I know I've talked about this a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, but here's the upshot, is that even today, with all the technology we have, with all the hundreds of ways that this piece of linen has been tested, no one can explain how that image found its way onto that linen. No one can explain it. I mean, do you realize the significance of that with all of our technology? And some people still think this is a medieval forgery. It was determined in 1978 that there's no dye, no pigments, no paint on the Shroud of Turin. The image is so surface. It's only on the first 2 microns of fabric. It is that surface of an image. If it had been paint or dye or powder, it would have penetrated the linen. It did not. And on this interview, you are going to hear the hypothesis from a scientist of how it could have come on the cloth. It would have taken the experts now think it has been produced by radiation. It would have taken a burst of radiation so powerful as to cause a scorch mark, the only way anybody can really describe it. And it would have to have been so fast that it did not destroy the cloth. Powerful and fast. And to this day, no one has been able to reproduce it. No one can explain it. In the year 2025, no one can explain how it's there, and no one can duplicate it. That tells me a lot. One of the things that was holding me back for years was that, well, the Catholic Church has it. So they're declaring it to be a relic. And the guy on the Tucker Carlson interview brings this up. And that was a stumbling block to him, too. What I didn't realize, and it comes out in the Tucker Carlson video, is that the Catholic Church didn't come into possession of it until 1980. Before that, it was held by private families. Private families owned it, kept it. There is so much here. Once you watch this video, you won't be able to stop thinking about this for a week. The implications of what we have, of what God has left us. Not to cause millions of people to believe. No, that is not going to happen. Because of the authenticity of the Shroud, I mean, it's beginning to become more and more apparent, even among the scientific community that holy shit, this is real. It's not going to result in hundreds or thousands of people becoming members of the body of Christ, hundreds of thousands of people coming to believe in God. No. What it's going to do is stand as a testimony, as a witness against, yet another witness against the human race at the great white throne. People will say, if we just had a photograph of Jesus Christ, we actually do have a photograph of Jesus of Nazareth. I have included another video link for you from a man named Dr. John Campbell. The Tucker interview has 1.4 million views. The Dr. John Campbell video has 2.3 million views. this Dr. John Campbell, he's sitting at a desk and he's very low key and he's just reviewing all the facts concerning the shroud. And it's so mesmerizing. This man is just reverently, he's not, or it doesn't come across to me as a religious guy, but he's just very reverently speaking of it and being moved by the injuries of the man of the shroud. In 1978, there was a detailed scientific study. As I mentioned earlier, that was when it was discovered that there's nothing, there's no paint or powder or pigment on the shroud. Impossible. Impossible. But in 1988, there was a carbon dating procedure done by three different laboratories on the shroud. And it was only, it was 29 years later that it was discovered that they took the samples from a corner of the shroud that had been repaired, because the result of the 1988 carbon-14 dating was that it was a medieval garment, a medieval cloth. Medieval burial shroud. But again, it was 29 years before the methods were exposed and they had sampled a corner that had been repaired and handled by hundreds and thousands of people over the years. So since then, they've done something called X-ray scattering imaging that measures the decay of the pollen samples that are found on the shroud. Pollen samples from pollen that could only have flourished in the spring of that time of year in Jerusalem in the first century. But so this X-ray scattering method dated the cloth to the first century and the weave of the cloth first century. There are spices on the cloth from the burial procedures. Spices on the cloth. The blood on the cloth is freaking real. The blood type is AB positive. There is pre-mortem blood and post-mortem blood, and the blood has different characteristics. The pre-mortem blood, that is from the scourge wounds, from the crucifixion wounds, is different than the blood from the chest area that resulted when the soldier pierced the Lord between the fifth and sixth rib to ascertain that he was indeed dead. That's post-mortem blood, and it's different. We have the actual blood of Jesus Christ. God left this. God did this. It is so fascinating to me that we have the juxtaposition of something so humble and terrible and yet so magnificent. We have a record of a man who suffered a most heinous, hideous, and humiliating death. And yet that very tortuous death has been recorded photographically in such a miraculous way as that all the wisdom of the world cannot explain it. So it is embarrassing and humiliating and illuminating and transcendently amazing at the same time. My God, think of what we're looking at. It was not until 1898. Well, this shroud has been written about and spoken about since the first century. There is a record of its existence dating far earlier than the false carbon-14 dating dated it. maybe between 12 and 14 AD. No, there has been writings concerning this object from the first century. So God has taken the most awful event, the death of his own son, who had to give up his life. His life could not be taken from him. He had to give it up. He's taken that and memorialized it, sealed it in time with a miraculous burst of radiation that you and I would call the resurrection, leaving it behind for humans to discover and to marvel over. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, the weakness of God is stronger than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. Many people don't believe in Jesus Christ, don't believe that God's own son came to take away the sins of the world because of the nature of the death. They don't want their God to be so humiliated as to be crucified, as to be tortured and crucified in such a way and made a public display. It's the weakness. It's the weakness that turns people off. It turned off the Jews of his day, that's for sure. They wanted a conquering political savior. They got a suffering savior. His first coming. People didn't want that. People don't want that. But what we see here is the weakness of God. But in that weakness, there's the miracle of resurrection that also no one's been able to reproduce. No one's been able to raise the dead. No one. Only God can raise the dead, and he does it through his apostles. God himself raises the dead. Any reports of anyone raising the dead are false and satanic. A burst of energy created the image on the shroud. So it was 1898 when an Italian photographer, an amateur photographer named Secundo Pia, photographed the shroud. No one had ever photographed it before because photography wasn't invented. Actually, it was invented in the tomb of Christ. It was invented in the tomb of Christ in the first century. This was the first photograph, the Shroud of Turin. It's a freaking photograph. Now, what they found, what Secundo Pia found when he photographed the shroud was an amazing thing, and you know this probably. The image on the shroud is actually a negative image. But when Secundo photographed it and took it into the darkroom, he produced what would ordinarily be a negative, a photographic negative, but the photographic negative, since it was a photograph of a negative, showed a positive. And this image came out that you couldn't see by just looking at the image on the shroud. If you're standing 3 feet from the Shroud of Turin, you cannot see anything. You have to stand way, way back to see this faint image. But when it's photographed, that was the first time that this guy, that anybody saw the face. It was like amazing. But this is, here's the thing. I want to show you this. Here's the image of the shroud, of the man of the shroud, the face, compared to, that is, as you would see it on the shroud, compared to the photo, the negative of it, which ends up being a positive. Not only is this a negative, or that is, produces a positive image when photographing a negative taken from the negative plate, but not only that, but there is three-dimensional encoding inherent in this image. This is what has been recently discovered. 3D imaging. What you're looking at on the right is three-dimensional imaging, shades of gray. And these the shroud did not have to be lying directly on every crevice of the body, because the radiation burst projected the image onto the cloth, even those parts that weren't touching it. Do you realize what we're looking at here? It's the face of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Son of Mary and Joseph, in his earthly body of humiliation. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a good-looking man. There was also a headcloth that covered him, but not in the burial. It was put over his head as they removed him from the cross. And when you read in the gospel accounts that Peter, for instance, raced to the tomb with John, and they saw this linen, this very piece of linen was discovered in the tomb by Peter and John. Just imagine that. And lying separately was the face cloth. It was put on his face as he was removed from the cross and then removed during the wrapping of the body and the entombment. And the man you're looking at is a nanosecond from life, from opening his eyes. God did this. Why did God do this? I believe that this is evidence that will stand against the human race at the great white throne. I am leveled by this, by the details, the suffering, the scourging, the crown of thorns, the beating of the face, the nail prints, the wounds, just the whole thing is shocking, appalling, devastating to me, devastating. And it is to a lot of people. It's devastating to this Dr. John Campbell. Including these two videos, the Tucker Carlson video, the Dr. John Campbell video. Why now? Why is the shroud being mainstreamed? Actually, I mean, everybody's heard of it, but I mean, it's being mainstreamed now. Because we're living in the end times. To me, it's just as miraculous that this shroud, this burial linen, is preserved. Just as miraculous as the scriptures being preserved. It'd be just like God to do something like this, wouldn't it? I mean, really, it really would. It really was just like God. It's the juxtaposition, again, of the humiliation and the blinding ability of resurrection. It's the perfect overlay of the foolishness of God and the wisdom of God. And the fact that nobody knows how it was done and nobody can reproduce it speaks to the weakness and foolishness of men. Doesn't it? Yeah, it does. I have never been more really astounded. And you know, my recent surgery for the cancer is also, I told you how I went to surgery and how I went down to the basement, how it was dark, and I just felt the fear and the dread of Christ. I was going to a place where people were going to help me. It was still scary as hell. He was going to a place where people were going to hurt him. And it was done out of love for us. And his suffering and his agony on the cross took away the sins of the world, bought our justification, not our justification only, but also that of the entire world. And God left behind an artifact, a love letter, if you will, evidence. I know what you're going to say when I use the word evidence. I'm with you. We don't need evidence. We believe Jesus Christ by faith. We don't need the Shroud of Turin to convince us that Jesus is the Son of God. But we can't get so cocky about that, because God has provided us evidence. Apparently, Peter and John needed evidence. Mary needed evidence. All the people who knew him needed evidence. This is why Jesus showed himself for 40 days. This is why other people came out of the tombs. This is why God made sure there were eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Christ. 500 people saw him. This is why Thomas put his finger into the nail prints and his hand into the wound on the side. This is why, because human beings need evidence. So we can't sit here and say, well, we don't need evidence. We believe based on evidence, evidence we haven't seen. Faith is an assurance concerning things which aren't seen. We haven't seen it, but our faith is not based on nothing. It's not. It's not based on nothing. It's based on the account. It's based on scriptures. It's based on scriptures written by eyewitness accounts. And God was careful to provide these eyewitness accounts, these writers, with tangible proof that he raised from the dead. So we really can't say we don't need evidence. We do. We just have not seen it. We haven't heard from these people directly. We're reading their writings, and we're trusting that the scriptures were preserved. And now I'm looking at this shroud, and it bolsters the hell out of my faith, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. Man, this is real. This happened, and what does that mean? Peter went into that tomb and saw this cloth, the very same one that still exists today, that verifies everything Scripture has to say, every detail of the final hours of the life of Christ, every detail that was written down is corroborated and verified on the shroud with photographic precision. Peter saw it. Peter handled it. And guess who was a friend of Peter? Paul. Paul was a friend of Peter. Paul knew Peter. Peter is the link to the shroud. Peter is a link to our apostle Paul, who writes of another event called the snatching away, which will also be a resurrection for the dead in Christ and a transformation of the living in Christ. An event just as miraculous as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see where I'm getting at? The shroud, Peter, Paul. Peter knew Paul. Paul and Peter talked to each other in Jerusalem. Paul is given the right hand of fellowship by Peter. Peter walked with Jesus. Peter believed in Jesus. Peter forgot that he said he was going to raise from the dead, a stupid fisherman. He comes in, sees the wrappings lying in the tomb, and then is visited, talks to the resurrected Christ, and our apostle is legitimized by Peter. You see what I'm getting at here? Our apostle is legitimized by Peter. Peter gave Paul the right hand of fellowship. Through the shroud, we have Peter, we have Paul, and we have Paul's writings concerning us that are as real as that first century piece of linen.